بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب تحريم صوم المرأة تطوعا وزوجها حاذر إلا بإذن. There is a next chapter in which it is discussed that it is not permissible, it is haram for a woman to keep nafil rozas when her husband is present at home, but with his permission. Because if she keeps rozas and he wants to have satisfied conjugal rights, he cannot do so because she is fasting. So she must first ask him permission if she is keeping any nafil rozas. Farz rozas, that of course it's quite clear that she does not have to ask him, that's the right of Allah which is the most superior. And the husband should not do anything of this nature with his wife while they are fasting. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu says that Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yahillu lil mar'ati an tasuma wa zawjuha shahidun illa bi'idhni. That it is not permissible for a woman to fast, to keep rozas while her husband is present, that is nafil rozas. While the husband is at home, if he's during the day at home and she wants to keep nafil rozas, and in case he wants to satisfy himself, then he will not be able to do so because she's keeping roza. So in that case, she should first ask him his permission. وَلَا تَأَذَنَ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And she should not allow any person to come into his house but with his permission. A person who is a غير محرم, a person who she can marry, such a person is not allowed in any case to be alone with the wife. Any other person, whether it is, for example, the wife's brother also. But if the husband has got a fight with the wife's brother, which shouldn't be there in the first case. But if it is there, and then he doesn't like her brother to be there, then she must not allow him to come without his permission. Only if he permits. She can keep contact with him, which is necessary for family ties to keep contact. But she should limit it to the extent of the husband. She should see the husband's wishes. Or any other person who she is permitted to allow there, but is a bad influence in the family, or is a bad influence for the children. For example, he's got some bad habits with him, or he encourages the children with bad things. Well, in today's times, with games, with cell phones, etc., then she's not allowed to permit him to come in the house unless the husband permits. So the husband has the right of who has got admission to the house and who has not got admission. And the wife must comply to that and live according to that. This hadith teaches us that a woman may not engage in any nafil ibadat without a husband's consent. In Bafaraz ibadat, she doesn't need the husband's consent, and even things which are haram, and if the husband consents to it, like for her to cut her hair, to dress against Islamic principles immodestly, then the husband, she doesn't need the husband's permission, and if he commands her, it's her faraz to go against the husband in those things. The rights of Allah are most superior, the husband's rights come after the rights of Allah Ta'ala. In broader terms, it also indicates that the husband's rights take preference to optional acts of worship because the former are wajib and the latter are nafil. That is the principle, that what is faraz, that no permission of the husband or anyone is required. That is Allah's commands, and those have to be fulfilled. What is nafil? Yes, then the husband's rights will come in act there and they will play. And then she must ask his permission first. And fulfilling marital relations preserves modesty and dignity. And maintaining this proper relationship between husband and wife, and they fulfill one another's rights, then there is great peace and happiness in that home. But if unnecessarily she refuses, or she keeps rozas and he's on holiday, he's at home and he wants to satisfy himself, then that will not be permitted. It will upset the whole apple cart in the home. The second portion of the hadith informs us that a woman may not permit into her house any woman, any man whom her husband does not approve of. And those which are not allowed according to Sharia, that in any case, even if the husband approves, that the husband's brother can go home while he is not there, it is not permitted in Sharia. And that is looked upon as a very dangerous thing in Sharia. So even the husband's younger brother is even more serious, because usually the wife is of a younger age than the husband, and the younger brother, perhaps they are of more or less the same age, and this can cause a lot of fitna. So even if the husband permits his own brother to go and visit, the wife, it's not allowed according to Sharia, and she must not allow any ghair mahram in her house, whether he's a family member or not. Many people take objection, "It's only my cousin, it's only your brother, what's wrong with that? It's a family member." But that allows more trouble, because people also think, well, it's only a family member who's going in that woman's house, so there isn't anything wrong. But that is causes much more fitna. And if it's a strange man, then even neighbors make a noise about it. And they also raise the alarm bells that something is not right here in the neighborhood. But if it's a family member, they also think, well, it's the husband's brother that has come, or somebody, so there is nothing wrong. And that is even more dangerous. The reason for this is there may be some enmity between the two men, and this will create enmity between the couple. A husband may not prevent his wife from obligatory acts of worship, such as Farz Salah or Ramadan rozas, because these take preference over his marital rights. So there we should remember the rights of Allah, and it's a simple principle, the rights of Allah are more superior than what our rights are. باب تحريم رفع المأموم رأسه من الركوع أو السجود قبل الإمام. This is the next chapter, and it is on the prohibition of one following the imam to raise his head from ruku or sajda before the imam. Many times some people have this habit. If the imam takes a little bit longer or not even longer, somebody is so much in a hurry, from ruku they raise the head before the imam says Allahu Akbar. Or they go into sajda before the imam says Allahu Akbar. They already start going down towards sajda. This is prohibited. It should not be. And the warning is dangerous of this. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه says that نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أما يخشى أحدكم إذا رفع رأسه قبل الإمام أن يجعل الله رأسه رأسه حماري. Do not any of you fear that if you raise your head from the ruku before the Imam raises his head, that Allah will change your face into the face of a donkey. That is, that you thought you are too clever, but in fact you are too stupid, you are not following your imam. And you are doing things before he does. Before he goes into ruku, you go. Before he goes into sajda, you start going. So the warning is that may Allah not change your face into the face of a donkey. Or يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ سُورَتَهُ سُورَةَ حِمَارٍ. Or may Allah change his complete form into that of a donkey. Some ulama are of the opinion that this warning is not literal but figurative. That it won't literally become like that, but figuratively it will become. And what is it figuratively? In other words, one who precedes the imam will become weak in understanding and intelligence like a donkey. A donkey is known for its stupidity. A person will become like that stupid if he starts going into doing acts of namaz before the imam does them. Other ulama of the view that a physical transformation of the body is also possible. That even in these days it is possible Allah changes a person's face. In fact, an instance is narrated. Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi mentions the incident of a certain hadith scholar, a muhaddith, who always taught from behind a veil. He kept a veil on his face. When one of his students insisted to see his face, it turned out to be that of a donkey. That alim, that scholar, muhaddith explained that he once tested the truth of this hadith by preceding the imam from salah, and Allah transformed his face into that of a donkey. And to test anything of deen, it's a very, very serious crime. that we are testing Allah Ta'ala, the words of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For us is amanna wa saddaqna, that we have heard and we believe. We are not here to test Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on any matters of deen. These are extremely serious matters, so we should not, like for example, a person is involved in some haram, and he says, I will do this haram and I'll see if some harm comes to me. That is very dangerous. If due to our weakness we fall into our haram, accept it's our weakness, seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, beg His pardon. But don't try and test any matter of deen. This can be extremely, extremely dangerous for a person.